Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, part three. So the first two parts, the first one we focus on removing ourselves from the category of being a stam adam, from being a whatever kind of person, working on ourselves to understand what it is that we're doing, being self-aware. That was where the journaling came in. Last week, we focused more on the concept of malchus, on declaring HaKadosh Baruch Hu a melech, and the understanding of what it means to be a melech, understanding of what it means that he's not a melech now, in the sense of the Shechina Begalusa, what it means to have an exiled monarchy, and the yearning for its return. And we have the two practical etzas of Shema and Yehi Shmei Rabbah, using both of those as daily opportunities to yearn for the Shema Yisrael, just like he's Hashem Elokeinu now, he should be Hashem Echad La'asid. There should be a time when he'll be La'asid Lavo, and as well as in Yehi Shmei Rabbah, Mevorach, that it should be that his great name be blessed, recognized as such. That's what we discussed briefly last week. So tonight will be our last chance to talk before Rosh Hashanah. A couple more practical things that Rav Volbe has to suggest. I'd like to discuss three different things as far as getting ready for Rosh Hashanah and an Eitzah. So Rav Volbe starts off on page Tuf Lamin, if you're following it inside. There's room, he says, for hachana masas. There's a practical preparation that's still necessary. And part of the etzem hadin, part of preparing for our judgment is, says Rav Volbe, after one has worked on himself, ben adam la'atzmo, he's been journaling, he's been keeping track, he's aware of what he's doing, he's worked ben adam la'makom, and being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last step that he needs to be zoicha in din is ben adam la'chavero, is actually preparing himself by working on how he relates to other people, which is a little counterintuitive from the perspective of if I'm standing in judgment, and if you remember from the first session, Rav Volbe made a big to-do about the concept of levad, you are alone. The three mashalim that Chazal give to being kivnei maron, like sheep being herded through a little entryway, or walking on a narrow path, or being appointed by the for the army of David. Either way, Rav Volbe said, however you learn that, the point of din is you have no one. It's just you. And you're going to be looked at independent. So as counterintuitive as it might seem, it's really absolutely not counterintuitive. The way that we're going to look at you when we look at you alone and we judge you, just each one of us without anyone else next to us, one of the first things they're going to look at is how did he relate to others? Volbe quotes a Medrash based on the phrase, the Medrash asks, Mahu ekia asher ekia. When Moshe Rabbeinu first meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the burning bush, and Hashem sends him back to Mitzrayim, and Moshe asks, well, when they ask me who sent me, what should I tell them? What should I tell them that your name is? So Hashem says, Ekya, Asher Ekya. Literally, we translate as, I will be that which I will be. So the Medrash asks, what kind of name is that? What does that mean? What is Hashem revealing about himself with that name? All of the names of Hashem reveal something about him. We have, obviously, the little that we know about him is the way that he relates to the world, and each one of the names he has expresses something. What does this mean? Asks the Medrash. The Medrash says, what it means that I'll be that which I'll be, k'shem she'ata havi'imi, the Medrash darshins, the same way that you are with me, kach ani havi'imach, I will be with you. So if you want to know how I will judge you, I will treat you, it's based on you. You make the first move. However you act, I will act. The Medrash says, but when I say that I'm going to act based on your actions, it's not between you and me that Hashem said, even though the words of the Medrash is the way that you are with me, in what way? In poischen es yedeim v'osen tzedakah, if they, the Jewish people, open up their hands and they give tzedakah, afani eftach es yadi, well then I will open up my hands to them as well. V'meinen poischen es yedeim, and if they don't open up their hands, well then they can expect that I will not open up my hands towards them. Says Rav Volbe, the Medrash is telling us, Mamish Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminacha. Tzilcha, tzel, shade. Hashem is like your shadow. You put up a hand, so you see a hand on the wall. You put up a finger, you see a finger. Whatever you do, the shadow reflects it, or your shadow is reflected, is a reflection of that, exactly. And whatever our behavior is going to be a perfect reflection of the way that Hashem will behave towards us and din. So what's the eighth that says evolving the final week leading up to Rosh Hashanah? So everyone's like, I'm preparing for Rosh Hashanah. So if in your preparations for Rosh Hashanah, you're stamping on somebody else, You're stepping on their feet. You're being sharp with a spouse, with a colleague, with a child, so that you can throw your preparations out the window. Because when you sit there levad on Rosh Hashanah morning, alone, with nobody else to stand in judgment with, what they're going to do is they say, well, how did you treat everybody? So the week leading up to it, this is it. You see, quotes the Gemara. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rava, kol ha-ma'avir al-midosav. Anyone who is ma'avir al-midosav, literally meaning he passes over on his midos, ma'avir lo al-kol pesho. So they'll pass over him on all of his chatoim. What does it mean to be ma'avir al-midosav? So Rashi explains, it means einu midaktik, a person's not particular, limdod mida limitzaarin oso, to respond in the manner that's deserving for someone who causes him pain. So that I have a right to respond in a certain way, and I'm not midaktik to do so. I'm ma'avir. I pass it by. I let it go. I let it slide. If you can let slide that which you have deserving, I can respond in a certain way. I have every right to say something. I'm right! And I still don't do it. Then the Gemara says, Mida keneged Mida. In Shemayim, they have a right to punish you also. You think you stand in din, and we're not asking for rachamim, we're not begging and pleading for mercy? If they'd be medaktik with us, mi yocholah amod bedin, who can stand in judgment? So what do we come with? I'm not a medaktik. I'm not particular. I don't hold everybody to a standard that I treat them exactly the way that they deserve to be treated. I treat people in a way that they don't deserve to be treated, despite that it's me who they're offending. And when I feel I have every right to do something, and I don't, then I come before the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah, and they'll look at me in Shemayim and say, well, he behaves that way to others, so we can behave that way to him. So that the Eitzah for Din, everything, I'm running Rosh Hashanah, I need this time to sit and to prepare and to be... Those are the last 2 weeks. This week, it's exactly in those personal, interpersonal interactions where you have that right to be quick with the person who's taking too long at the checkout because Rosh Hashanah is coming, I don't have time for this. And the person who's being too slow, too frustrating. When we're ma'avir al midoseinu, when we are able to pass by, as Rashi says, I have a right, they're mitzayir me. Whereas without Rashi, you would say, I'm ma'avir, without a right, it's not that I'm justified, I can let things, literally, you have the right to be upset. You know, in every Shalom Bayis Shavuos, you could say like, yes, it's not that you're like ignoring it. Something happened, and you're offended, and you're hurt, or you think you have the upper hand, and still, ma'avir al midosav. That's when it applies. Yeah.
Are we not saying you owe me?
Well, that's mita keneged mita. In other words, it is in a similar way, and it's a way in saying, it's not just that you owe me, but it's that we have a right. I don't know if we have a right to claim to deserve, but it's in the sense of the Gemara is saying they will treat us the way we treat others. So I don't know whether or not I don't think we have to actually say that because up in Shemayim they know exactly what it is, but we're treated based on the way that we treat others. So I don't know if I would say it in that way, but certainly, you know, you'd have precedent in, you know, maybe Chana or others who, you know, have sort of pushed the envelope in that kind of sense. But do you have a Gemara? You'd be able to come with a Gemara that if we were truly able to say we were Mavri al Midoseinu, to say that's how it works. That is how it works. M'chayev zehirus atzuma b'midos davka b'hachana liyoyim hadin, says Rav Olba. It's m'chayev, a particular attention to midos as one gets ready for the Yom HaDin. And that's worth stating, he says, because you would think that the Yom HaDin is all about our first 2 weeks. It's about ben adam la'atzma, working on oneself, being aware of one's actions in his spiritual growth, preparing for being mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech and crowning him as king. But like being patient at the checkout store, that I wouldn't have thought, you know, is my primary preparation for the Yom HaDin, says the Gemara, it is. Because in the way that we treat others is the way that we're going to be treated, particularly those who don't deserve our kindness. To treat those with kindness who we don't think deserve it, and we still do, we can come to the Ribbono Shel Olam on Yom HaDin and say, I don't deserve it, but treat me with kindness anyway. Rav Olba continues, not only is the Etzem HaDin require that focus on midos, but really what we're trying to accomplish on Rosh Hashanah, which is malchus, also requires that. So that not only does my working on my midos, my interpersonal relationships, help me in my personal din, it actually helps me in the goal of everything that I'm trying to do, which is malchus. He quotes a medrash. If you've been around me, Rosh Hashanah time, you've heard this from me. I say this several times a year in drushes. It is one of my all-time favorite midrashim. So I just walked into the kol event tonight, and someone said, "I was just listening to one of your classes online on Rosh Hashanah. I feel like it's the same one you said the previous year." I said, "It's probably true, because there's certain themes which run through it." This is a medrash. If you're listening online, you've heard this before. The medrash is by Ibishur and Melech. Pasuk, I believe it's the end of Devarim. When will there be a Melech, a king in Yeshurun? So the pasuk says, "This is Asef Rosh Ha'am, when the heads of the Am and the heads of the nation gather together. When Yisrael are shoven ve'etza achas milamata. When Yisrael are all together with one mindset, with one literally piece of advice, so to speak, down here, then his great name becomes praised up in Shemayim." So the Medrash says, a mashal. What is this a mashal to? I Adam Shevi Shtei Svinos. A king, he brings two boats. And he says to his constituents, he says to his people, "I want you to build me a palace. But instead of just building me a palace like everybody else builds a palace, I want you to build me a palace on these two ships. But not only do I want a palace built on two ships, I want the ships to be out at sea at the time. So it's not just that they're docked, and then I want you to take them out to sea and build me a palace, and that these two ships should be the foundations for the palace." So they say, "That's impossible. How do you build a palace on top of two separate ships out in sea? It doesn't work." Well, there's only one way to make that work. If you tie the ships together, so then maybe you can do it. But if you tie them together, it's going to be pretty hard because there's still a lot of movement. You got to be anchored to the ground and tied to the ocean floor. If they're tied together, you could build a palace. Make an attempt to build a palace at sea. So the Medrash says, "Kach Yisrael, Terosin Ritzono Shel Makom Va'agudaso." There is one aguda. They're tied to each other, different ships. Klal Yisrael is made of 12 different shvatim. Each shevet has its own mission, has its own personality, its own strengths. Different ships, tied to each other, anchored to Torah. You can build a palace. But as soon as those ships cut each other off from each other, even if they're all anchored to the same ocean floor, and each one says, "I'm Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, I have Torah," that's nice. And you can be anchored to the ocean floor all you want, but if you're not tied to the other ships, you can't build a palace. There's no malchus below Am. You can't have a malch without his nation. And the Rebbe Shlomo says, "I have a unique malchus. I don't have a malchus like everybody else, where you can build me a palace, and long after I'm gone, the palace will stay. My palace is built on ships. And the only way that it has any key and it has any staying power is if the ships are tied to each other." Says the Rebbe, as we prepare for the Yom HaDin, so it's not only a ben adam l'chavera when it comes to being maver al midosav, in which I'm willing to let slide when I get offended, and therefore I can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Treat me the way that I treat others." But that which we're trying to accomplish of malchus requires it. There has to be a sense of an achdus, a single aguda, a single group of people working and functioning together. Otherwise, there's no such concept of having a palace, which is why he quotes, says Ravolda, that the Arizal used to say that a person begins davening, he should be mekabel on himself the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. It should be part of a person's repertoire. They put on tefillin. Before they begin to say shachris, should stop and think, mekabel al atzmi the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. If you want your tefillas to be accepted, it has to be coming from a place of avas Yisrael. It has to be coming from a place of togetherness and aguda achas in order for that to be able to happen. That is, it requires a hachana. You can't show up on Rosh Hashanah. It's the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah is where we're able to prove it. The days that you get closer to Rosh Hashanah, even more so. Erev Rosh Hashanah is for sure the most opportune time where it's just a crazy Sunday. There's going to be 1,000 things to get done. Pressures are high, tense. That's the moment of the preparation for the Yom HaDin. When you think about, from a perspective as to, you know, the things that make us crazy on an Erev Yom Tov, running around, whatever's going on in the house, and you have an option of whatever you think is really important to have ready for Yom Tov, if it comes at the expense of anything, benodun l'chavero, so think twice, which one is actually going to be more important for your Yom HaDin? That you should have the head of a fish at your table? Or that you're calm and patient with whoever it is that you need to be dealing with at that moment? Which one really is going to impact your din? The head of the fish, siman ha-milsa, it's a nice siman. To be able to say the Ribono Shel Olam, I was calm and nice and appropriate and patient. Chazal say that you have to be nice and kind and appropriate and patient with me. Will be much go much farther for your din than the head of the fish sitting on your table. That, he says, is what to keep in mind as we prepare. That is point number one as far as our final preparation. Point number two that I want to share, he writes, is a practical element. This will take us from literally from tonight, Tlamirt Hashem, Sunday night, a week from tonight, from last night really, as far as our preparations. And he writes as follows. Every person has a certain level of cleanliness that they demand from their home. There's a certain standard that everybody's different. Often within a home, a husband and a wife are different. Certainly the children are different. But every person has their individual, this is as neat as I like it. So that it's only at this point that I say to myself, it's messy. And it's at this point I say, it's clean. And it's not, whatever's messy, not the same for me, it's not the same for you. We have our standards. And whatever our standards are, if we're bringing in a guest, we take note as to, well, where is the house right now? If it's the kind of guest who's an extra neighbor, who's in and out of our house regularly, we actually don't take note at all, and we don't do anything because of the fact that our guest is coming over, because we don't view them as a guest. This is not any chashuv person, there's nothing significant taking place here. My house is as it is, and let him come and see it. If it's not just a neighbor, if you invited company for a meal, for a Shabbos meal, whatever it may be, and it's not somebody who's usually in your home, so you'll take a look around and say, what state is my home in? And if it's an important person in the community, if you're hosting a parlor meeting and you're inviting a bunch of guests, those who have not ever been in your home before, so you'll clean it up, because you have guests coming. If included in the parlor meeting is a Rosh Hashiva who's coming from out of town, so you'll clean up even a little bit more, because you want it to look a certain way, because I have a certain guest. It's an important guest. Somebody who I don't do this for myself. I live, my level of cleanliness is below that. But that's how I live. Now I'm hosting. And because I'm hosting and I'm not just living, I clean it to a standard beyond what I normally would do. If it's not just a traveling Rosh Hashiva from New York, but it's a Gadol Hador is coming to your house, there was a parlor meeting and they had invited the Gadol Hador to come to your house, you would remake the entire house. It wouldn't just be cleaning up. You'd hire somebody to clean the carpets. And get the whole, you'd look from top to bottom. It would have to be exactly the way that you wanted it. What that represents is the level of kavod that you sense from the person who's coming. If you didn't think that the Gadol Hador was anybody special, you wouldn't do that. But you recognize that he is. You recognize that even some people in the community have a level of, I clean more. Kivo HaMelech. Rolba says, in this week, preparing for the Melech. The Melech Malchei HaMelech, the King of Kings, is coming, and he's coming to our house. He's coming in judgment. How are you preparing? He writes, what are you doing? And he has in my mind, a brilliant insight. He suggests, Vishema. I want to quote it inside because it's such a beautiful phrase. Ulai, ze etzem hadin, that an aspect of the judgment itself that we are going to stand upon is Ketzad Anu Mekabel Moso. How do we prepare? Because we're greeting him as a king, right? We're crowning him as a king. Really? Did you really believe it? Did you really think that the king was coming? You know how I can tell? Says Rav Volve. Because they're going to look at you. And they're going to look at your home. And they're going to look at you, how you behaved. And they're going to say, eh. He didn't really think that this was anything special. He didn't really believe the Melech Malchei Malchim was coming to visit. Because he wouldn't have left his room that way on Erev Yom Tov if he really thought that way. And it adds some of the din. Part of the judgment's going to be, do you really feel the king? Do you feel his presence? Are you being mamlechim? Because the more that you're mamlechim, the more that he's here. We are creating the melucha. So how'd you do? Is there a melech in your house? If I came to your house Sunday night, and I came to your house Thursday night, would I know that you're expecting somebody special? Would I note that there's something different? It's a frightening thought. But he says, that's the hachana hamasis, practical application. How do I prepare for the king? It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to think this week like the king is coming. As we spoke about last week, I don't relate to a king. I don't know what that means. So he writes, well, roll up your sleeves and get your house ready as if the king is coming. That's a way to engage. No, I believe it. I'm being mamlech v'melech malchei hamlachem. My job, my goal, what I'm going to do over these next 2 days are not a normal 2 days. It's not just any yontif. The king is coming. It's a yom adin, and I'm going to be prepared. My house is going to be clean and neat, and I'm not going to yell at anybody while I get it ready. I'm going to somehow combine those two impossible tasks of keeping my home in a state that says I'm ready to greet the Melech with a state of Midos, and that's the din. Kodesh Baruch Hu ba letoch libos b'nei Adam. Hashem is coming into our hearts. That's the Gilui Shechina. That is the revelation that we're yearning for, that we're praying for. Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. Anu tzrichim lekabel oso. We have to be ready to receive it. We have to be ready to see it. The way that we're mekabel him will express exactly where it is that we're holding in the whole process of being mamlech. You know, Shabbos is a me'ein of this. Shabbos is a me'ein of Shabbos Malchus. So there's an element of Malchus and Shabbos also, which why? If you note, the ideas that we're talking about, you're like, that sounds like in my every Friday, right? It is very similar.
We don't prepare ourselves. We prepare the house every
Friday. Well, it's very similar. In other words, when you think about it, a Friday experience is very similar in terms of the preparation for the Shabbos Malchus.
We should be.
Right, and the way we change our clothing, the way we prepare the house, it's greeting a guest, it's the Malachim are coming home with us, there's a welcoming in of the Shabbos presence. It's a very similar concept. Rosh Hashanah is the idea, Rosh Hashanah is where we create the Malchus. We're creating, we're being Mamlech, this is the day that, as we started with, Adam was created, on the day that man is created, man has the ability to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this is the designated day of that Malucha, and therefore there's that significance in terms of how we prepare.
Of the two, which do we prioritize or say which is more important? Because we're saying we just went through the staying calm and not letting and our interactions being there. And at least for me in our house, you could straighten up and have it there, and then an hour later it looks, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have your kids running all over.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to lose. So is it better?
So on a practical level, with a home with children, which I'm familiar with, what it will look like lemaisa 10 minutes after you clean is one thing. There's still a difference between how we go about trying to get it clean. In other words, on a regular Friday, so we have the same problem, right? Yet there's effort that goes into getting the house tidy for Shabbos. How long will it last? Who knows? But you know what? We go into Shabbos and we clean up the playroom. So is it at least that, or it should be more? You know, everyone, I know what it's like. So it's not going to be perfect, but the Melech, when he comes, knows that there are children in the house. But he also knows whether or not there was an effort that went into it that said, whether or not you're talking to the playroom, so I talk about my bedroom. Did I just shove everything into the closet, or did I spend the time to say, I know I had a week to know that the king was coming, and my room, which my children can't mess up, is going to look appropriate. The playroom, I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm getting myself ready. And I mean this in a very practical way. We have a whole week. Did I get my shoes shined? Did I get a haircut? Did I need to have that? Did I make sure that I thought that my suits were ready? Do I wake up on Sunday afternoon and say, oh, man, I meant to go to the cleaners. My suits are stained. Would you, if you were going to visit the White House on Sunday night, if you had a flight on Sunday afternoon and you were going to the White House, just the White House, President of the United States, right? Not having a melech, you're going to the White House. Would you wake up on Sunday morning to check if you had a suit? So whatever you would answer, speak to somebody who's been to the White House, and the answer is no, you wouldn't. You would be aware of the fact that the cleaners are closed on Sunday, and you would, on Tuesday already, figure out, what are you wearing? That's tomorrow. You'd get it to the cleaners, and you'd make sure you're prepared. And you'd probably shine your shoes too, because you're going to the White House. And if you speak to those who have been there, that's what you do. So, okay, your playroom might not be perfect. There are many other aspects of how we get ready. And I say this again, these simple examples. Are our nails cut? I had a chance to shave. You know, the simple things that, like, as I'm going through my week, saying, I'm preparing for the king. I'm preparing because the king is coming, and I believe that. I believe the Emuna Shlema, my job on Rosh Hashanah, is to be Mamluch L'Ribono Shlem. And he's coming. And these 2 days are Kadosh. And I will be prepared physically because I recognize in the way that I prepare for something physically, it's real spiritual value. That's how we function. And if I run into Rosh Hashanah a mess, and my house is a mess, and I'm not prepared, and my suit is stained, and my shoes aren't polished, and the king says, did you not have any warning? Did I just spring this upon you? Did I not blow shofar for a month? You didn't care? Really? You're not prepared? And we say, no, you're the melech, you're the melech, you're the melech, Hashem yimok li'olam va'ed. Really? You believe what you're saying? It's frightening, Revolver writes. And it's very powerful. And it's a week of mundane activities that says, Kivo HaMelech, king is coming and my home is going to look as it should when the king comes. On that, I'll leave with my final thought for tonight from Avolda. When the king is here, when the day arrives, everything until now has been for this week. Now it's Sunday night. Melech is here. And you sit down to your table. So we have Simanim Ilsa. And we'll spend the whole meal, we'll be eating this food and that food, because this name in Aramaic means that. This Yehi Ratzon, that Yehi Ratzon. Why do we do that? So it's a siman. It's a siman that there should be bracha. And as Rav Olba writes, as Meshabrua writes, as you're saying it, it's not just, you know, mumbo jumbo, ebgb, if I eat a leek, all of a sudden. It's a tefillah. The ikar, when I eat the food, I say Yehi Ratzon. And the Yehi Ratzon is said as the tefillah b'kol kavana salev. It's the time for tefillah. Because, as Rav Olba, you're being zoreya the whole year. You're planting the seeds for what will happen over the course of the whole year. And the seeds that are planted on the Yom HaKadosh will sprout. So we do things to plant good seeds. With tefillahs for this, and tefillahs for that, and tefillahs for all the things that we need. Because this is the day. It's a day of beginning. It's a day of planting. So in a Yom Kodesh like this, where you're going to be so busy making sure that you have the right leek and beet and pomegranate and head of the fish, and you're going to speak in a way that's not appropriate, you're going to use a harsh word, there's going to be an angry word that's going to come out of your mouth, this is the time that we're planting seeds. What? Forget about what we put into our mouth, but what's going to come out of our mouth. And if there ever was a two-day period where it should be spent well and wisely and with dibur benachas, with an appropriate level of speaking, it's recognizing that same thing as we spoke about, the king is coming, do you really believe it? Do you believe he's sitting at the table with you? Because I don't think he would speak that way if you had just even a stranger at your table. Today we're being mamluch. Today is the day, these 2 days we're coming to be mamluch. And the seeds that we plant are indicators as to how we're succeeding in that mission, what we're trying to accomplish. And therefore the way that we talk is far more significant than the stuff we put in our mouth. It's the tefillas that come out. And that is his etzah as we plant the seeds. As he raised etzah. Okay, one last thought, I'm sorry. One last thought, I have 2 more minutes. His final etzah, on the day itself, the Gemara asks the question why we blow shofar before Musaf. The Iker mitzvah of blowing shofar is during Musaf. The Malchus, the Chronos, and the Shofar, so 3 different brachas that we make of Musaf, blow shofar. And we have the minhag, as you're familiar, before Musaf, we blow as well 30 kolos. The Gemara asks why we do that, since the mitzvah is primarily should be done during Musaf. Why do we jump the gun and fulfill the mitzvah before it was supposed to be done? Chazal established it during Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. And we do it before that. We blow all 30 before we even get to it. So the Gemara answers, K'dei la'arve vesa satan, which would literally translate into to confuse the satan. So Rashi says, what does it mean to confuse the satan? How does blowing shofar before confuse the satan? So Rashi says, that doesn't mean confuse, like, as if we, like, he got confused about something. Rashi says that when he sees Klal Yisrael so excited to do a mitzvah that they can't wait for Musaf, but they're so mechavavin es mitzvah with such love that they do it as soon as they can, so it confuses his arguments against them. He's about to come and say, ah, Jewish people, they're not doing this right, they're not doing that right, they have no legs to stand on in din. Where it says, and we're ma'arvei vasa satan, we confuse him. Because as he's about to start saying that, and he's about to start claiming this against us and that against us, and the Rebbe Shem says, well, look at the great love that they have. So when a Jew goes through Rosh Hashanah, yes, there's an emes hadin, there's a fear, and there's a simcha, says Rav Olbe, of the yontiv, as the pasuk chedvas Hashem himu uzchem, the joy of Hashem is his strength, is his glory. That we are the prized few to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's the Simcha and Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. What a joy that we have such a privilege. What a joy that we have the ability to sit in shul for a couple of hours on a day that the Melech is coming to the world and to declare him Melech. And that joy is Ma'arvei Vesa Satan. Because he's going to claim against us the whole year. He did this wrong and he did that wrong. And he's got good tainus. He's right on all of them. They're all there in front of their Baruch Shalom. But then he looks down, and he sees the joy. He sees the simcha of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. And the son has nothing else to say. His claims are silenced from the joy that emanates in Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. So the final thought is that concept of, as we prepare ourselves, as we prepare for Malchus with Shema, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, as we're preparing the house, and then as the day comes, it's Chedvas Hashem Himu Uzchem, the joy in Hashem is really your strength. To have a Kabbalah, Smalchus Shemayim with Simcha, a Yontif. It's a day in which we don't mention Chait, we don't mention Tshuva. It's a day in which we are the prized, privileged people to be able to declare Kadosh Baruch Hu Melech. It should be a good Yontif and a success in our task.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.